Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
swath off the English coast in 3 days, 10 hours, and 40 minutes, the liner United States established a new Atlantic speed record, July 6, 1952. Cheering crowds at Southampton hailed the American ship that had clipped 10 hours from the transatlantic mark set by Britain's own Queen Mary. Then westbound, the United States knifing through the Atlantic for her second record crossing. It was noted by the builders of the ship that in the event of necessity for emergency conversion to military service, the United States could transport 14,000 men, or virtually a full division, 10,000 miles without putting into port for food, fresh water, or fuel. But for the crew and officials and passengers aboard the liner, the greatest moment was now at hand. The United States was reaching Ambrose Lightship outside New York with the Blue Riband of the Atlantic, having made the return trip in a record 3 days, 12 hours, 12 minutes. Saluting the ship whose maiden voyage shattered Atlantic speed marks going over and coming back. At the turn of the century and beyond, Great Britain and Germany dominated leadership in fast Atlantic crossings. Now, for the first time in almost 100 years, the speed crown was claimed by the Stars and Stripes. New York, home port for many of the greatest ships on the oceans, really put on a show. A big broom symbolized the sweep of the Blue Ribbon Speed Trophy by the $70 million United States, America's first lady of the high seas.
Good afternoon, and welcome to America's Disabled Veterans in Action. I am Dr. George Anderson, and this is ADVIA.media. Well, today is the 29th of December. It is Tuesday, the last Tuesday of 2015, and we are here to do a show. We have our Brooklyn Navy Yard phone number, 347-884-8078, and our Navy Yard lines are now open. I guess this is our hostess. Before I get to bringing her in, would everybody please take a moment and check out the Conservancy for the SS United States? Although we raised a great deal of money to help it this year, we still need to do more because the ship is not completely out of danger. We have enough for a good portion of the year, but we need to do more to make sure that the ship gets to New York. So please visit the website, www.ssusc.org, and consider slipping in whatever you can afford to that nonprofit organization. Also, don't forget to donate to ADVIA. Remember, that's Stephanie. I know by the noise on the line. Hey, Stephanie, what's going on?
Well, what is going on in my neck of the woods? But cold. And we have kind of hazy skies. It's really nice because you can see the person out of Beale Air Force Base. Can't thank our troops enough.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to plug the Air Force, but I do have to say I definitely appreciate them and those birds. They keep going in our skies. And
What are they doing in the sky?
Well, the SR just looks like it's trying to pretend it's a dragonfly. And the other ones are just trying to see how fast they could go, I guess, boys and their toys. So, I don't know, it's unusual for this time of the day to have them flying, but the backdrop of the Sutter Buttes, it's just a beautiful sight, and I just am outside and just enjoying it. So, it's not like we can see the deuces or the tanks of the Army going around. Because if we see that, then that's kind of like an oh brother moment. We're in deep doo doo.
Right. Now, you want to tell us a little bit about what you got planned for today's show? I think we have a caller from the area.
I'm hoping that is Christy Tubbs. She is a financial planner, and she is Mrs. Yellow Ribbon for Finances. Everyone is going to be deployed. They say they can't do it without her advice, and she's managed to get people out of debt, even in incomes such as ours. And we can look forward to financial future. And will give us the tools on how to do it and how to set goals. Is Christy on the line?
Hi, everybody. Yeah, this is Christy Tubbs. I thank you for that introduction, Stephanie. I am an accredited financial counselor, and I do work with all of our military personnel in all branches, and I help in our veterans, and I help them to learn how to secure their financial resources so that they are so that they receive all of their resources that are available to them that our taxpayers and our government have set aside to help and support since we serve so greatly.
Yes. So that's why so the scuttlebutt on base was that you make every dime count. Now I understand it's both and outgo. All right.
Yeah. So one of my specialties is helping people to repair their credit and negotiate off their debt. So if anybody has any questions on how to repair their credit, that's an easy thing to do without having to pay anybody to do it. You can do it yourself.
Oh, wow. So even
in that case,
what would you say about a person that's challenged by inquiries?
By too many inquiries?
Yes.
Well, one of the problems with inquiries is that you don't have a lot of control over what they are putting on, how many people look at your credit report. The one thing you do have a control over is that you can add a 100-word statement to each of the three major credit reporting agencies and inform them that you did not authorize those inquiries into your credit, and then that way, and you're not seeking any further credit, and that doesn't remove it, but it kind of makes it, it puts perspective on why there's so many sitting there.
You know, because that's something that a lot of people don't realize. Because you go out to these stores and things, and they'll say, "Oh, fill out an application," and they make it sound so easy. But they don't tell you that every time that someone pulls your credit, that you're being hit with anywhere from 5 to 25 points in certain instances.
Absolutely, yeah. One of the biggest issues, especially for military and veterans, is that we have extremely I'm sorry, forgive me, I'm getting over a cold. We are given extremely easy access to credit and weird credit. Store credit is afforded to us very easily. And yeah, you know, you walk into Target and they say, will you be saving 5% today by filling out this form? You don't even have to leave the register. We can do it right here online. And what you're not realizing is that 5%, which is usually $1.50 at the most, that is hitting you for hundreds and thousands of dollars later on down the road when you have to pay a higher interest rate on a loan or on your insurance premium or on your, you know, on your house payments and that type of thing.
You know, Christy, one of the things that I always do point out, because one of the books that we've talked about on this radio show is by the Federal Reserve, which states that oftentimes when they create this credit, it's created out of thin air because they don't loan you anything. But they do create the credit and thereby obligate you to this debt. You know, there's nothing that's really loaned. Unfortunately, a lot of people don't always understand that, and nobody, you know, I mean, not many people outside of our radio listeners, when we talk about Modern Money Mechanics, talk about the fact that this credit that we see is just a tool that holds us down, but it's made out of fractional or provisional credit.
Right. Yeah, it's...
I mean, have you read any of the readings of the like Modern Money Mechanics where they tell you that they make the money out of thin air when they loan it to you, like even on your mortgages and things like that? I don't know if you're familiar with that.
That's a big thing that I try to talk to people about and teach them. The money that's loaned to you, let's say you come to me and ask me for a $100 loan, and I don't necessarily have that $100. I never actually give you a $100 bill. I say to whoever you're going to pay that $100 to, oh, they're good for it. I sign my name, and no actual $100 bill changed hands, right? There was no hand that touched any of that money, and yet the person, then you become indebted to me for something that is not an actual thing that happened. And so, but it goes all the way up to where the money is originated in that same fashion. So, I mean, that's a very, very silly down way to describe it. But yeah, it's kind of, I try to help people understand you don't have to have all of the knowledge about money to be able to be financially fit and wealthy. What you have to know is the basic steps to financial freedom, and that's where I try to keep people focused. If not, we get so overwhelmed that, especially for veterans, we have money going out for medical bills. We have money going out our bills and everything, and the money that's coming in is usually a portion of what needed to go out. And so my big passion is helping people to learn how to budget, to live within those means, and even save if they can.
Yeah, but, you know, it's amazing. I mean, because it is something that does add to the quality of life, being able to live by a budget. You know, you have to. The only place that I know that they don't live by a budget is in our Congress. Well, that being said, most of us have to live by a budget.
Right, except,
you know,
Congress,
and,
right? So.
Yes, exactly. Well, what do you do for veterans that are situated somewhere, like say they're 100% disabled, and they're situated between 50 and 70% debt income ratio, and that's just for rent?
Right.
How do you work with someone like that?
That's always a huge quandary, and sadly, there is a very large portion of our veteran society that are living in that realm. So I deal with this a lot, more than I sadly would like to, because you guys served so valiantly. Part of what I actually do is I help our veterans understand that there are resources available to them to help them reduce some of those costs that are coming in. So first we look at all of the expenses that are going out, and then we evaluate where there's potential resources. Sorry, my phone is going in and out. So then we look at potential resources that can fill or fulfill areas that are maybe draining the budget at too high of a rate. For instance, there are lots of organizations now that are helping our vets with groceries, with gift cards. And we have gift cards that go unused constantly in the different centers and in the different areas. Why? Because, one, we don't know that that's available to us, but two, you served this nation, and it's because of you that this nation is free. It's because of your services that we are actually able to function with all of our freedoms underneath our Constitution. And you don't want to necessarily walk up and say, I need $50 for groceries, can I have the gift card? Because you're a soldier, you know, and you serve, and so you serve others. Others don't need to serve you. But because of that mentality, we end up really not being allowed to take in all of the resources that are available. So if I leave you guys with nothing today, it's please take this away. The kindness and the good-hearted people who are willing to give, you know, gift cards or give free services. All of my services, my financial services, are free to our military veterans. People do that not because they feel, not because they look down upon you, but because the majority of them didn't serve or don't know how to serve, but they love this country and they are so thankful for the sacrifices that each of you has made. And so if you take nothing away from what we discussed today, please take away the fact that when people are reaching out to you to give you help, to support you so that you can live the life that you have provided for us, it's important for you to turn around and thank them and take it. It's not a handout. It's definitely for those of us who give, it's a huge thank you, because we know, especially in today's world, we can be overrun. We can be our country wouldn't be the great country that it is without your sacrifices. And so I just want to encourage each one of you listening, if someone's offering a resource, take it, because it's there for you and you deserve it, because you couldn't do it without you.
One of the quotes that I have said often on this airway is, what does thank you for your service mean when it's time to put food on the table or it's time to pay the rent? So when I make that statement, I try to get the veteran to realize thank you for your service should be more than just words. You are addressing that need. That is something that adds value to thank you for your service. It's not just empty words, and it helps to pay what George Washington called an honor debt. Let me bring Stephanie back up. She had a lot of background. So that you can be here. Steph, I know you have something to say here.
Oh, most definitely. One of the things I wanted to know is, A, to give us some budget advice. Number B, how to set goals. Mostly, how do you get the gift card? Where can you send people? Do you go on base? Do you, because I know up here, I know a lot of homeless, hungry veterans. One of them, who was a guest on our show, is dead now. And another one had died about a year ago, and they were hungry and couldn't get anything.
Right. Yeah, that's one of the reasons why I work in the manner that I work, because, like what you were saying, people have gotten, not just the military people, in general, they don't want to just say thank you for your service, because that doesn't show the true gratefulness that we are or that we have. And so everywhere I go, I encourage people, don't just thank a soldier, take them to dinner. Don't just thank a veteran, find one on the streets homeless and feed them. And so that's my goal in life, and that's my desire. But it amazingly, there's people all around the world that are starting to do that same thing, which is wonderful. You asked specifically, every resource, every area has resources in their own specific area of support. And so, for instance, like in Yuba City, there are, in the Yuba City area, there are vet centers that you can go to. But one of the biggest things that everyone can go to is MilitaryOneSource.org. And on there, they connect resources in your specific area that they can help you with. And those Military One Source people, they're the ones that connect with all of the local facilities, and they're the ones that can help you get those gift cards.
Okay, and Military One Source is not exclusively for active duty?
No, it's not.
Okay, so we'll put a link on our website for MilitaryOneSource.org. Okay, what if someone is so overwhelmed and they're kind of wondering if they should go bankrupt, their rents are high, utilities high, you know, the kids have more needs that they can do and they're totally overwhelmed. How do you help them get out of the pit? And I'm talking about veterans, not active duty.
Okay, so veterans. When veterans are just overwhelmed with their expenses, the number one thing that we do is I call it stop the bleeding. We have to stop and say, okay, this, and at the end of the year, it's perfect time for you to do this. Everybody sit down and say, what did we really use this year that was a necessity? Did we really use all 400 channels on our cable bill? Did we really utilize that expensive cell phone as much as we think that we needed it? And I know that those are excessive things, and most veterans don't even carry all of those. And so the next step that we do is we look and we say, where do we, if everything went away, what is it that we need? You need food, you need shelter, and you need transportation, right? And as for veterans, we get our health care, and it's supposed to be free, but we get our health care, and so we need to start utilizing that health care system in the way and forcing that health care system to serve us the way that they're supposed to be serving us. And so, but that's a whole other show. Anyway, so yeah, so we sit down and we actually look at what, over this course of this year, what is it that I absolutely need? And then you build a budget based on a 20% rule. Only 20% of your income should be spent towards debt, which means paying all of your extra bills. Housing, if you add in housing, you add 40%, and you take 40% off of all of your income, and that should be what you live off of. And it's hard to figure that out in the beginning, but when you get it, you start being able to see all of the extra money that's freed up. And that's really the trick, is living by a 20% rule budget. And I'd be happy to send you a link for your website where you can actually pull that up and have examples so people can learn how to build a 20% budget.
Okay. I appreciate that. Thank you. One subject that comes up, not regularly, but enough, is bankruptcy. Let's say someone, you're talking about a 20%, I don't know, about a number, 50% of their income is going for debt. At what point is it the famous point of no return?
Right. Yeah, that was the part of your other question. Sorry, I was looking at my notes to see what else you were asking. So when do we declare a bankruptcy, and when is it unsafe or worrisome to do so? So here's one of the problems that our veterans have. Again, we're labeled veterans, and my husband is, we've served in the military for over 26 years. So I am very proud to say that we are veterans, we're a veterans family. But part of the problem is that bankruptcy is seen as a failure to thrive, or a failure to pay off your debt. Well, you gave us the biggest debt that you could possibly give us. You sacrificed your life. And whether you made wise choices with your money or unwise choices with your money, everyone gets into a situation, and I mean everyone gets into situations at times in their life where their debt is going out faster than their finances can come in. And so instead of looking at bankruptcy as something that is the end of the world type of financial resource, I like to encourage people to understand that bankruptcy is a legal action that you're allowed to take. Our government does it all the time. People, the most wealthy people, file bankruptcy and renegotiate all of their debt and resituate constantly. And so we have people running for the office of presidency right now that have all filed for bankruptcy. Why? Because it's legal. Because it's a tool for finance. It's a financial tool for people to utilize when they are in a place where they need to renegotiate their assets and restructure their assets. And so I want to encourage you that bankruptcy is not the end of the world type of environment that most of us have been raised to believe. So that's number one. Number two is bankruptcy, if you have spent more than, this is my rule, everybody has different generalized rules, but if you've spent more than 3 years of your life always underwater, trying to figure out how to do it, how to pay off these bills, and if at the end of that 3 years of your life you have been unable to set a budget and restructure yourself, then I always advise people to go to a bankruptcy lawyer, which for veterans, most of those are free. There's free veteran services for that. And you go to a bankruptcy lawyer and you ask them, how do I renegotiate these debts? How do I restructure my life so that I no longer have to live under this stress? And if we start looking at bankruptcy as restructuring and a fresh start, that's much better than living stressed and underwater for the rest of your life. So my rule is 3 years underwater and not able to live by a budget, go see a bankruptcy professional.
One of the things that I do talk about on the fair is the bankruptcy of the United States. A lot of people are not aware that on June 5th, 1933, the United States itself went bankrupt. And because the United States went bankrupt, we came off of the gold standard. And because we came off of the gold standard, what we consider money is not constitutional money. We use Federal Reserve notes, which has been struck down by the Supreme Court as not legal tender. Now, when we're talking about bankruptcy, we were promised that we would be given a way to pay our debt in exchange for giving up silver and gold. Now, I don't like to go into it a lot, but one of the things that I'm finding out that is really helpful that I'm exploring as a part of the option given, because they have to give a remedy for taking us off the gold standard, and that was the promise to pay all of our debt. What I found myself in earlier this year was a fight with the utility company. And I began to suspect that the utility company had something to do with the bank. Well, as I did my research, I found out that Ted Carver, who's the head of Southern California Edison Utility, was sitting on the board of governors for the Federal Reserve. So I issued commercial paper. I took the check that they sent me, the remittance coupon that we get at the bottom of the bill, and filled it out and returned it to them, offering accord and settlement, which is another option that we have as consumers to pay, or because you can't pay your bills with a debt. A debt is a promissory note, which we call Federal Reserve note. So the thing is that you can offer a court and settlement, and that sometimes is a remedy.
Yeah, that's really interesting. You're very knowledgeable. It's refreshing to hear someone speaking in those terms. The majority of people remember if anyone has had any type of financial education, it's been through a public entity, usually through a public school system or through a public session forum that was created by the government. And again,
right.
They're all telling us about our, it goes back to the dollar, right? The Federal Reserve money, which the Federal Reserve
right.
is just a promissory note, right? Not real cash. I'm not giving you $100
right.
worth of gold. So that's amazing that you know that. My concern, and I agree with you, I understand what you're talking about. The problem is that our military personnel they don't have time to figure that out or to think that through when the creditors are calling you and saying, pay me now. The stress level for us is...
The thing is, here's the point, and this is what I'm telling everybody, because I'm dealing with it. I'm on the front line dealing with it, running the radio show. And that is, when you are dealing with this, we have to begin to try to understand the law. The law is like maybe four paragraphs long, Public Law 73-10. But they hide from us the process that they promised us for taking away the silver and the gold. I have found that there is some relief in reading Publication 1212, which is the 1099 OID process that allows you to discharge your debt. And I think that's a far more efficient way if we would take the time to read it. But the thing is, like you said, everybody's just going about their lives, and we're used to being told that we have to pay a debt. We can't pay a debt using a debt note. So what you
right.
have to do
it's
is try to come into balance.
You're allowing yourself to be committed to an IOU, which with an IOU, right? And so it's not, but yet we're taking the hit for the full amount, and saying we're willing to, take that. And I understand that, but that's a lot of education that you're going to have to give, and you do have an outlet. You've got a radio show that you can provide that with.
One of the reasons why I try to share a little bit, and it falls, and today especially, because if you're looking at the Kwanzaa calendar, today is the day that we deal with cooperative economics. And I'm not looking at it just from a Kwanzaa standpoint, but it's funny that we're talking about the finance on the day that Kwanzaa also deals with finance. And it's something that we really do have to look at as a community of veterans, because we have to find ways of coping and trying to do it. Because one of the biggest stressors that we have in the community, one of the biggest drivers of suicide, is financial worryation.
Right.
So we have to begin to address it. And when you're facing situations where you're going years without being able to really set a budget, you don't know how you're going to make it from month to month, because if you pay all of your rent, you may not be able to eat. You know, we have to have these resources. And so what I try to do is, we are not taught in school that everything is about commerce. So what I try to do is to bring to life what it is that we're talking about. And the reason why I talk about it is because we took an oath to a document that says silver and gold are payable for all debts, public and private. Now, this is Article 1, Section 10. So if we are swearing our lives to this document, we must understand what's in it. So that's why periodically I do talk about this issue and why we like to have sessions where we do have financial experts that come on to begin to talk about it, because this is something that we need in the community.
I'm excited listening to what you're saying. Because I deal with the triage, I don't, I hear you and I agree with you. My concern is people who are in the middle of triage that's a heavy thought process to understand. And so hopefully your wisdom will be disseminated enough so that we can get to the place where they're living a life of that understanding. But until then, they still have to put food on their table, and they're still getting calls from the creditors, and that creates a stress that we want to eliminate for our soldiers and our veterans.
Because you have to, even with the creditors, you have to understand, you know, I tell people, if you have a bill and you get something from, say you have a bill from XYZ Corporation, even if you just send them a simple verification of debt, that stops the collection process while they investigate to give you the bill. But the secret is that we have to answer. You cannot let a bill come in and let that bill sit there, because everything is a contract. You have 3 days to decide, I'm going to answer this, because if you don't answer it, that silence becomes you're agreeing with it. And if you don't agree with it, you have to answer it accordingly within 3 days and send it back. You know, and I've seen contract law, because, like I said, most of these things are cohesive, meaning that they're very easily entered without very much action. Inaction will create a contract.
That is the key right there. The inaction that happens because we freeze, because we don't have the money to pay that bill, so we set it aside and think we're going to deal with it later, or we will pay it 30 days down the road. That's what creates the cycle and the snowball effect of the additional expenses and the additional fees and all of the things that happen, all the negative things that happen. What the best thing that Stephanie asked, you know, when people get overwhelmed, what can they do? The best thing that you can do is, if you have paid your rent in full and you know that the rest of the money that you have has to be for groceries for your family, so nothing else is going to get paid that month, the best thing to do is, the minute that the bill comes in, if it's an electricity bill or anything like that, immediately call the Salvation Army and all your local churches, because you need help to pay to keep your lights on, and there are resources available for that. The next thing is that you contact the electric company and say, I'm not able to pay this bill this month. Please put the cost onto next month and cease any late fees. And they'll most likely do it. Most of the time, what I find is that when you're proactive discussing things with the people, they are very happy to work with you and to put you on payment plans instead of 0% payment plans instead of paying fees and penalties. So I can't encourage you enough to be proactive in your financial life and to seek out wisdom of people like you all to make certain that your fees and expenses don't continue to add up for something that's unnecessary. But you mentioned something that I would like to kind of segue for just a second, because this is really important. Creditors,
we do have a caller waiting too. I wanted to let you know, but go ahead.
Let's answer those questions then. Let's go ahead and answer those questions. But
okay, all right, hold on. Caller, are you with us? Hello, caller? I guess they're just listening. That happens.
Oh, good.
But go ahead. You were going to say about the other question.
So what I want to encourage you is this. Veterans and military personnel are targeted highly by unscrupulous credit agencies that are what they do is they go in and they buy old debt. So maybe on your credit report you have something that you didn't pay off 14 years ago, and suddenly a creditor like MLM comes through, and they start sending you debt collection fees and debt collection notices for something that was years and years old, and we get fearful and we contact them and we say, oh yes, I'll go on to a payment plan for you. Well, first of all, by law, if it's more than 7 years old, you're no longer liable for that debt. And so you can just go directly to your own credit report and have them remove it off of your credit report. Second of all, these unscrupulous credit collection agencies are purchasing large, just really your name. And they don't really know where, how much debt you owed or who it was really owed to. They just know that you were put into this database from this age, from this company, and if they bully you enough, you're going to pay it. So most of the times these credit collection agencies call you and they say your original debt was $600, but now you owe us $1,500 and we'll settle for $900. Well, if your original debt was for $600 with someone else, then you never went into debt with that person. Who's asking you now to
there's
pay them $900?
There's no contract.
Exactly.
If I owe you $600, and so you then sell the debt to someone else, and they buy that debt, then actually I can say thank you for the gift, but I have no contract with you because you were not the original creditor and you don't know the circumstances of the debt. Now, this is also supported by the Fair Debt Collections Act, which is basically you have to have direct knowledge of the loan situation.
Yeah, exactly. So I just want to encourage everyone that if you're getting calls from collectors, first answer the phone and find out who they're from. And if they're not the original debtor, then and they purchased the debt, then you did not. That was not assigned to them. It was a purchase, and you did not agree to be sold. So that is you're not in debt to that company, and therefore do not owe them a penny.
What about predatory mortgage companies? Can they sell your mortgage off?
So we have to be careful in the terminology that we use because our mortgage companies will transfer or assign our mortgage oftentimes to another a banker. So, for instance, if you are with Bank of America, Bank of America has a right to sell you to Wells Fargo, and now Wells Fargo is your new lender. When you sign legal documents, you say, I am honoring the fact that I could be assigned to another lender. So it's different when you're assigned, where that means that Bank of America has now said, we're not funding this loan anymore. You are, Wells Fargo. And so that's an assignment of their debt to them, and you had agreed to that in your legal document. It's part of the closing documents that you sign. However, if you went into default and someone purchased that debt, that's a much different situation, and you got to use a legal team for it. But that's what we found. That's how we found so many people getting their homes back, because if the debt was purchased, no one could truly prove who really purchased it because it was sold so many times and people were making money off it so many times. But what ended up happening was homeowners were literally getting contacted by three or four different agencies saying, you owe us the home. And so I just encourage you to really know what you're signing before you commit to it. And then if it gets assigned, find out if it was assigned or sold. And then you have the ability to follow up with that with legal action if you want to.
Okay, makes sense.
One of the books that I like highly, 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 I can't suggest it enough, for people to read and to Google it, because it helps you to understand what is really going on when dealing with mortgages and things. And it's something that our audience should take part in for your financial well-being. And that is the book by the Chicago Federal Reserve. It's called Modern Money Mechanics. Now, I recommend that for everyone because it helps you to understand fractional credit, which happens within our banking system. And once you get into fractional credit, it begins to give you a little bit of insight as far as, like, what's happening on that side. And it helps you to just understand how the mechanics of credit work. Because if we don't really understand how the credit works, we're losing out. Because sometimes we're at a disadvantage because when we sit down to sign those documents, we're not actually taking their consideration. And a lot of times, as Christy was pointing out, we go into foreclosure, and you don't know why you're in foreclosure, but you're in foreclosure to a company that has bought the debt, but you did not agree to. It can be a very precarious situation. But if you know the right, you can defend yourself based on the fact of simply asking for a 2046 balance sheet, which shows the actual balances of what's going on. And that stops a lot of it. But at the same time, you got to know, you got to be in the know and know somebody to tell you to ask for these things, because if you don't, you lose.
Also,
and that's what happens to a lot of us, because we don't have the time.
Absolutely. You also want to have proof of the validation. They have to prove and validate that they are indeed the owners of that debt, and that you, not just that they own it, because most of the times they come back and they say, well, it was sold on this date in this clump of money. Well, that's not what I asked you. I asked you to validate that I went into contract with you. And if they can't prove my signature was with you, then I didn't go into contract with you.
Wow.
Yes, that is a very true fact. So, you know, when you're talking about financial fitness, these are the things that our community needs to be aware of, because these are the tools that can help to save you from financial distress.
Yes. Yeah, and I can't stress enough, right now in this world, in our great nation, there are so many people out there that want to support our veterans, and they just don't know how. So if someone asks you, how can I help, assess that and say, you know what, I really need to figure out how to get my finances together, or I really need just 3 months of electricity paid because I couldn't pay my electricity for 3 months. And you'll be amazed at how many people rally and get excited to help you. I can't stress enough. The way that the world is turning right now, people want to help.
And then there's the other side of it, too, that has come down from the Congress in the last 6 months, that not even 6 months, within the last 45 days that have really been out there that I've been finding out about. If you have a problem going on, it's available in all 50 states. You can also talk to your veteran service organizations and the VA about supportive services, veteran families, SSVA.
Yes.
SSFVA. And it's a very flexible program because they've designed it that if you're in trouble with your utilities, if you're in trouble with your mortgage, it's designed supposedly to meet the veteran at the needs that they have. So, you know, there are things that are out there. We just have to get the knowledge out there to the veterans and make sure that they're aware.
Right. Also, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau is sending out financial counselors who are prepared and well-versed in your local areas that will help you with your financial counseling, to help you figure out your financial resources available to you in that local area. So it's free. It's not a handout. It is a service that we realize, where did we fail our veterans, and how can we fix that?
And I'm thrilled to know a large portion of these financial counselors, and they're top notch. So it's really neat to know that that's happening.
Okay, well, it's would you please post that?
I'm sorry?
Hey, Dr. George, would you please post that on the website?
What the SSVF I have when it came out from when I got it from Congresswoman Brown, Corinne Brown.
Okay, maybe
I was able to post the SSVF program. Yeah, well, I don't have the direct link, but I'll try to locate it and get it back up there because that is something that is important.
It's kind of disheartening when I went over to try and get help on PG&E. They told me I flatly didn't qualify because I made too much, and yet the medical non-reimbursed on my son was so high, and they just basically said, "So sad, too bad."
One of the things that an advisor was saying is that because when you are receiving VA compensation, it's not considered income. A lot of us don't file zero balance income taxes because we are not required to, but it is very much something that you should consider if you have a no income every year. Now, we have services that will be available between January 1st and Tax Day for veterans to file free income taxes. Go talk to these people about filing 0% income taxes, and then you can take that income tax return and go and apply for other services from your county because you now can show you have zero income.
Yes. Yeah, that was on my list. You guys are just great. You actually don't need me. You are describing everything that I want to tell them.
Well,
it's nice to have
someone that is aware, and it's nice to know that I'm doing an okay job at doing this, but this is something that I'm trying to share with the audience on an ongoing basis.
Wonderful. That's so zero income, you know, it's one time that you have to go down and do that every year. And it allows you to have 12 months in the following year of your resources provided for you. And I'm so excited to hear that you talk about that because a lot of times we figure, oh, well, we didn't have any income, so I'm not going to file. But showing that no income came in because you have 100% disability, that is highly important.
Yeah, because the disability is not counted as income. So when you go to fill it out, it looks like you have a zero balance tax return. It goes to look like you have a zero balance tax return. But in actuality, you still have your compensation, but your compensation is not income, and it's not counted towards the tax burden that's assessed. And this is why I'm actively reading the IRS publication 1212 on the 1090 OID, because next year I intend to go into it on the air. Because our people need to know of it. Because a lot of people don't realize the effect of, and I'm going a little deeper here, but the effect of the Uniform Commercial Code and the effect that it has on our everyday lives from the moment of our birth. You know, and that is something that we have to begin to look at because if I don't know if many people have even bothered to check into the theory of the straw man, but the straw man, if you follow that theory and take your own birth certificate, you will see that there are bonds on your birth certificate. So those bonds are there for a reason, and those are how we are supposed, that's a part of how we're supposed to adjust our rates. But this is where they don't tell us about publication 1212.
So that's one of the things that I'm going to be talking about early in this year to begin to try to address this issue for our community. And a lot of us don't even have the idea of what we think that we've reached the age of majority when we've reached the age of 18. But the age of majority is when you do a certification of the warehouse receipt given to you at a birth. If you don't certify that thing within the first 5 years of life, you're presumed dead. And then because of that lack of following the Minnesota rules of court, Rule 220, we are not considered age of majority. But that's another story. So what I would tell you is that these are the things that we have to look forward to in 2016 that we will be getting into, because we have to educate ourselves to help to put it into the stressors that lead some to suicide. And I think that the best thing that we can do is try to tell the people the best way to get to this, how to fight back so that you're not stressed out about a bill. You know, how to decline benefit from the contract. Because, see, the whole thing is everything is about a contract. Everything in the commercial system. And so we need to understand this as importantly as we need air to breathe. Because I think that that would make it easier for us to deal with some of the stresses that we don't have to worry about. And that's where having guests like you come in to help us to identify this and tell what's going on. And to let people know you're not alone. You know, because what you're describing is not something that's just in Northern California. It's not something that's just in Southern California. It's in Colorado, 37 states out of 50, where veterans can't afford a two-bedroom apartment in most states. So if we know that this is the case, we've got to try to think a little bit differently as a community. What can we do? How can we better utilize the things that are there for us? How do we identify the things that are there for us, like the gift cards, like the SSFVA? You know, we need to bring these things forward constantly. And so that's what we try to do. That's the whole reason that ABBIA was invented, to try to make sure that we had one source of news and media that did not that wasn't focused on the next 15 minutes of whatever. Because some of our problems in our community of veterans are persistent, and they go on. But if we can find a light of clarity and help that veteran to ease the load a little bit by bringing the news and information that's relevant to what they're going through, then we've accomplished something.
Excellent. Yeah, exactly it.
Well,
I'm honored to stand with you all in any way that I can help. If there's anyone that has a question, and any of your listeners, you're welcome to email that question to me, and I'd be happy to do my best to get the answer for you in your area. But also, I encourage you all to reach out to your local resources.
Yeah, and also we want to have you, we would love to have you back at some point. I mean, I would hope that you wouldn't think that this would just be a one-time thing. We would want to have you back to follow up and, you know, and to see. I mean, because this is something that it's a situation that it's going to take a lot of hands to make light of the work. We can't do it alone. And with help, like with what you've given us tonight, and what we're doing in the community, we working together can do more than us working apart.
Absolutely. That's wonderful.
So that's why I said we hope that you will come back, you know, and share with us, because as we go forward, this is something that we want people to know about. You know, and you never know. You just might change someone's life.
You know what? And that's why I do what I do. Because if we can help one person know that, one, they're not alone, two, there are resources out there to help you, and three, tomorrow will be better. And sometimes we wake up in the morning and we go, well, it's tomorrow. No, it's not. It's today. So we just have to hold on till tomorrow, because it always turns around. It always ends up better. And, you know, if we can turn around and look back at our lives and say, you served a valiant purpose in so many people's lives to make this nation great, we will help you get to the place where you feel safe and secure and are financially free from all the burdens that are out there.
Could you, before you go, since it's the New Year's and New Year's resolutions, can you give some top 10 advice on budgeting and what their goals should be, especially considering, you know, the uncertainty that's in the air, the things that are hitting up in the Middle East, how many people have gone bankruptcy because of the deductibles? I'm talking military people, not just veterans.
Right.
That don't see that much, that, you know, have lost careers, that they don't see much hope.
Yeah, that's a great question. So thank you, Stephanie, okay, for asking that. So every year I encourage people on the last week of the month. We're actually heading into the last day of the month, but of the year. I encourage everyone at the end of the year to sit down and do these 10 things. First, evaluate. Are you really where you wanted to be when you started out on your life journey? Are you where you wanted to be financially? Are you where you wanted to be emotionally? Are you where you wanted to be physically, where you're living? And just look and say, did I achieve, or are there things I want to change? And then when you decide that and you get a list, because for me, I usually have a list, and then I say, I limit myself. I only allow myself to say, I don't like 5 things. After that, I stop. And then the second thing that you do is you pick 2 items that you want to make better. Financially, do you want to always have your house payment paid or your housing paid and always have food on your table? Or every month I want to be able to pay my bills. Find 2 items that you're going to work for and achieve it during the next fiscal year or the next year. And then the third thing I encourage people to do is say, what is my life motto? Do I actually have a life motto? Because when it comes to setting up your financial destiny, if you don't know why you're saving the things that you're saving, or why you have to make the sacrifice of not going to McDonald's that day because you want to save for something, if you don't know what your life motto is, then you don't know how to set aside your finances to achieve that. So, for instance, my life motto is change someone's life today. And so every day I look for someone to impact or someone to encourage or someone's life to make better. And that's not necessarily a financial is what most people think, but it is. Because if I change someone's life, then I'm able to look at my financial world and say, wow, I'm not going to go to McDonald's today because I'm going to go help that person who needs that $10. And so if you know what your life motto is, then you're able to succeed in all of your financial ends and all of the things that you have to sacrifice to be able to have that future in. And then the fourth thing that I encourage everybody to do is sit down and say, what's valuable in my life financially? What do I really cherish? What makes me feel good? What makes me feel needed? What makes me a better person? And if there are things in your life that you're spending money on that do not make you feel good, that don't make you a better person, don't make you change the world better, don't make you impact your circle in a positive way, then choose to get rid of it. And the fifth thing, and this is really where we dig into the financial world, is to sit down and get all of your bills together, every single bill, every expense, every credit card, every time you know that you go to Starbucks or you know that you hit 7-Eleven for something. If you're a cigarette smoker, people who smoke tend to leave off their cigarettes off of the budget because they don't want to have to look at the high cost of that cigarette. And so everything, it's called, I call it the non-judgment zone, where you bring everything in and you say, I'm not being judged by what I do, what I need, what I've liked over the past year. This is what I spent on. In a non-judgmental way, how is this something that I really want to be spending on and I want to budget for, or is it something that I don't want to budget for? And then the sixth thing is to sit down and write a budget based on the 20% budget rule. And the seventh thing is to say, I vow to save at least $1 every month. Now, that doesn't sound like a lot to a lot of people, but if you vow to save $1 every month, then when it starts to sound like not a lot, you will say, you know what, this month I'll save 10. This month I can actually save 50. This month I can actually save 100, and you put it aside. And then the month when you can only save a dollar, then guess what? You succeeded at your financial world. And the eighth thing that is so important for all of us to do is to recognize, as good as a budget is and as important as it is to live on a budget, life happens and life changes. And so research is the number one thing that I tell everyone to do on January 1st. We usually, most of us have the day off. If we're veterans and we're at home, it's a great time to start networking with people and asking people, just where would I go for help with an electric bill? Where would I go for help with my car payment? Where would I go for help if I needed to find groceries? So resource availability and resource research is the eighth thing. And then number nine is, that was number nine. And number 10, I might have skipped one here. Number 10 is choose to be happy. Because whether you have $1,000 in the bank or nothing in the bank, you impacted the life of an entire nation by the choices that you made to serve this great country. And because of that, you have a right to be happy no matter how much is in the bank, no matter how much you need help to survive through the next week, through the next day, you have a right to be happy. And I encourage everyone to choose to be happy, because without you, I could not be happy. That's about it.
You just said a mouthful right there. You know, your happiness quotient makes a difference. Your happiness quotient, whether you know it or not, your emotional state affects your overall well-being. It affects you physically, emotionally, in all. I try to tell our veteran audience, you know, try not to allow yourself to be upset by things. I know that sounds like a lot to do because we go through things that push buttons and different things like that. But people are surprised when you find out that you keep a positive disposition. Your burdens become a little bit lighter. You're not challenged health-wise. Because every time you blow your stack, I can guarantee you within 2 weeks you're going to have a physical ailment from that outbreak. If you look within a two-week period when you lose your temper and have that meltdown and different things like that, other things manifest. Backache, neckache, pain that you can't explain. You get sick. These are the things that go along with a disposition that is rigged with anxiety. So it is important to keep a happiness quotient. That is a mouthful right there. You do that part.
Absolutely.
The rest of it is easy.
Right. And that's why we find that the wealthiest people in the world are the people who know what they're happy, where they're happy, what makes them the happiest, and that's how everything else around just falls into place.
Indeed, indeed.
And you know, it's also
well,
when you're happy, the people around you are happy too, because it spreads.
Right, right. It's also what my my company is called, Peace Apart Financial Counseling and Life Coaching, because a heart at peace gives life to the body, and that is why I think we succeed at the level that we succeed at with supporting our military veterans, because my goal is not to just have you financially fit, but to have you healthy in mind and body.
Yes, it is important that we have that mind-body connection, because it makes all the difference in the world. It changes your whole disposition and outlook.
Right.
Well, we have 13 minutes left in our show. Our Brooklyn Navy Yard call-in number is 347-884-8078, 347-884-8078. One of the things that I find so amazing about this medium, a lot of days it seems like we don't get a lot of calls. But then when I look at the statistics and go back and look at what has happened through the show after we're off the air, I find that we have hundreds of listens and different things like that. So a lot of times when you're hearing these broadcasts, when you're listening to our podcast through the internet, the show is already over. But we try to make sure that we bring information, news and information that is timely and helpful. And as we're in the last 2 days of the year, we know that after the beginning of the year, most people are going to be trying to get ready to get their finances in order. We're making plans for resolutions right now. People are saying, you know, my resolution is to lose weight. My resolution is to save money. My resolution is to create a budget. My resolution is to learn something new. Well, the thing is that whatever your resolution is, we want to try to provide news and information that is beneficial to our veteran and active duty family. America's Disabled Veterans in Action was established for that purpose, because mainstream media does not give the community full consideration of what our needs are. We come up on Veterans Day, we come up on Memorial Day. Every now and then you'll see an ad in between. But the thing about it is we have no dedicated source of media other than this 501c19 called America's Disabled Veterans in Action, or ADDIA.media. So this is why we do what we do. And we wouldn't do it if we didn't know that it was something that we knew we could get covered by mainstream media. And we have proof through the demands on the station. I mean, when we look at the fact of our Facebook page reaches over 250,000 people per week, you know, that tells you that there's a need here. You know, yesterday, for example, there were over 84,000 people on our Facebook page. We had over 500 people on our Twitter page, you know, and we have 120, I think, on Instagram the last time I checked. But the thing about it is that, you know, this is how we have to get the news and information out there. And it's like we bring you Christy, we bring Stephanie, and we deal with every issue and every aspect of a life of a veteran and life of active duty. Because, you know, we have active duty that are facing hard times. Even though they may be on base, they often have to rely on resources such as soup kitchen and SNAP benefits in order to get through between paydays. If this wasn't needed, that's why we bring people like Christy to the air, to make sure that you have resources.
you know, something to get you through that you're not with that because you've earned so much more. You know, and I get a lot of people too, Christy, that will say, oh, our veterans going in earn $40,000 a year. But when you actually do the math of what they actually earn in the enlisted ranks, even through an E-9, you're not making minimum wage, even with years into the service, because you're on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You're still earning less than $7.50 an hour, and you've got 20 years in service. So
right.
What I'm not complaining, but I'm just saying that we have to look realistically at the economic scenario, and that's why we like doing shows like this to help bring some sense to the equation, which may seem overwhelming to some. So this is why we continue to do things like this, and we will continue to do things like this, and we will talk about issues surrounding budgetary and financial issues, because like we pointed out earlier in the show, and we'll be coming back to the statistics, it's one of the driving indicators of those that take their lives. Oftentimes, that's what's cited, because financial stress has driven them to the point that they think there's no out. And we have to make sure that people understand that there's always an out. It will get better. You just have to take your time and deal with it. Talk to someone. You know, if you don't know where to find help, you know, it's the empty barrel that makes the most noise. The squeaky wheel gets the grease. So you have to open up. If you're having trouble with food, don't be afraid to say, you know, are there gift cards available? We're going to try to make sure that those resources are also available on our webpage so that we can make sure that our veterans around the country can get the resources and the active duty. Can get the resources when they need resources. Because if you've served in the United States military, you should not want for food, you shouldn't want for shelter, and you shouldn't be without a little bit of money in your pocket. Because the fact of the matter is, none of this would exist if we would not have given our service. So we have to collect on the honor debt that's put out there for us.
Right, and it's not just collecting on the honor debt. They don't need to. All they have to do is stand up and say, I'm here, because the resources are there and waiting and available to them to be given to them. But, you know, if we don't know where you are or what you're doing, the people who want to give can't help.
This is true. And so, you know, this is why we're glad that you're here to share this information, because without your help and guidance, this is something, another piece of the puzzle that will ease the burden for someone that's currently going through a situation, you know, whether it's your light bill, whether it's the mortgage, or you're facing foreclosure, or you're in so highly over your head in debt that you may be continuing bankruptcy. You know, so all of these things are the reasons why we're bringing it to you, this news and information, so that we together can make a difference.
Right, and some key takeaways financially are bankruptcy is not the negative that we have all been trained to be negative. It is a legal form and an outlet for us to be able to restructure our lives to move forward without burden. And our taxpayer dollars are paying for that. People who have never served their country do it. So there's no negative for you if you're in that place. The other thing is find those resources and continue listening to the show. You're a plethora of information.
Well, we try. We definitely try. Stephanie, any closing thoughts right here? Are you still?
I would like to add something.
Left.
And that's, since she's also a life coach, that I have her on a show just to talk about tips for living and getting to your happiness quotient. And because I know, Chris, you are a treasure trove of information, and there's a lot of hurting vets out there that could absolutely benefit. And people think life coach is for the hoity-toity.
Yeah, I would be thrilled and honored to come back and talk with you all on the level of being my life coach certifications. You know, exactly. A lot of people, I do have very high-end clients who do utilize the fact that a life coach can help support their need to help themselves figure out where their strengths are and where they are falling short of their personal goals. But I provide my services free to all of our military troops and our veterans because, yeah, we don't have the niceties of being able to pay for a life coach on the outside. And so we don't have that extra income like you all were talking about. Most of us lived our entire career on an enlisted salary, which was well below poverty at some point. and so, you know, the luxury of a life coach is not afforded to most of us. And so I provide that service for our troops and our veterans for free. But one of the biggest things that I enjoy doing is helping people to take that next question. If I were to do the action that I'm talking about right now, you know, when a lot of people are saying, I just can't go on another day. I have lived in debt my entire life. I've failed everything. I've lost my family. I've lost my home. I just can't go on one more day. I help people to think through that next question. Okay, if you follow through with what you're talking about, there are people that are going to hurt because of that. And hurt greatly. Are you really willing to take yourself away from those who do care? And you may not be able to see that person. But if I can be that one person that says, I care, and you may have changed my life by being in it, and how selfish of you to not be there for me, because now I'm not going to be as great as I am supposed to be. So are you willing to think about that at least. And it's a wonderful, wonderful time to be able to talk about that with people. It's the end of another year. Do you really want to go on next year in the same capacity that you have been on? Or can you say, next year I'm going to change something and choose one thing that you're going to change and go for it? I'm going to be a kinder person next year. That's what I've chosen. I'm just going to be a nicer person to everybody around. Simple. Doesn't have to be grand. So many people think that we have to make these grand assignments, and it's not.
Yeah. Well, we have reached the end of our stream for today. Steph, we have reached that. I hope you guys have your parachutes on because we've reached that zone. We're about to leave the air. We will be back tomorrow at 2400 Zulu. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. We look forward to Marilyn and benefits on tomorrow, and we will see you then. Until then, 2400 tomorrow, folks, and we'll see you then. Stay with us, Christy and Steph. We're going to go over the break. I'm going to go to the next one.
Thank you.